If people who cherish freedom, who know the importance of mutual respect and are aware of the imperative necessity to establish a constructive and critical debate, if these people are not ready to speak out, to be more committed and visible, then we can expect sad, painful tomorrows. The choice is ours. And this week's opening quote comes from Tariq Ramadan. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And it's good to be back, folks. My apologies for not bringing you a broadcast last week. I just had so much on my plate, so please forgive that transgression. And it does get very tiring, ladies and gentlemen, this path to truth, this attempt to awaken the world to what is coming and what we are facing. But it's a path that does need to be trodden. It can get very tiring. It can be very much an uphill battle. Even though a lot of people are waking up in the world, there still are a lot of people who are asleep, and those who are asleep seem to be becoming more asleep. It's almost like the human race is becoming noticeably polarized. On one hand, you'll get people cheering you on, and on the other hand, you'll get people not just opposed to what you're saying, but violently opposed to what you're saying. Many people will even be in fear of what you're saying, and they'll be in fear of you for even saying it, which is something that I find to be extremely bizarre. There are some people out there who find any sort of stance that is made against authority as being a threat to themselves. A very, very interesting level of programming that so many people in our society are now displaying. And it can become very disconcerting because it's one thing to be presenting information to people online, to be chatting to people online, and even going and hanging out with people who think the way you do. But when you go out in the greater community and you see the level of programming in people and the level of animosity people will direct towards you for even daring to think outside of the box, it really is quite a sobering experience. I think a lot of people spend far too much time online and not really getting out and participating in the world and participating in the greater community outside of their circle of friends and really seeing what the general mentality is in the population. Because when you do, it is, as I said, quite a sobering experience. But of course, most of the blame for this can be laid squarely at the feet of the mainstream media in their absolute failure to present the truth and the facts to people. We've seen this very clearly in the recent attack over Syria, the recent downing of a Russian warplane, the killing of 14 Russians by friendly fire over Syria due to an Israeli incursion and a bombing campaign that Israel was carrying out over the city of Latakia, which resulted in a Russian plane being downed by friendly fire. And this was happening while the entire situation in Syria was being de-escalated. Israel thought it was a good time to launch a bombing campaign. Because Israel and the West will do anything they possibly can to make sure that ISIS and Al-Qaeda is not defeated in Syria. That's what the West is doing, folks. They've actually changed the name for Al-Qaeda. They've actually relabeled Al-Qaeda from terrorists to moderate rebels. It's incredible, folks, the way the United States just picks its allies and its enemies and relabels them and renames them and flip sides all the time and just uses whatever force will support its own agenda. And it's very clear that whatever happens and whatever international agreements are made, whatever international laws are put in place, Israel is not going to obey any of them. Israel is going to escalate this conflict, continue this conflict happening, and Israel is quite prepared to drag the entire world into World War III if it suits the Israeli agenda. The Israelis do not care about any other race except those who populate the stolen nation of Israel. And this is very, very obvious by their actions over Syria. Why they're not receiving sanctions for this should stand as a very, very clear demonstration as to how corrupt the system really is, folks. Because really, when you look at this, if you put sanctions against Israel and stopped funding Israel, you would stop all global terrorism, you would stop all of these wars in the Middle East, you'd stop all of these conflicts straight away. by removing funding from the rogue state of Israel. But Israel only ever gets supported in this matter, and Israel will just do whatever it wants, regardless of what other agreements are being brokered by whoever is brokering them. Israel doesn't care. As we see, while these meetings were going on to de-escalate the conflict, Israel just decides to go in and launch a bombing campaign, which resulted in the downing of a Russian jet. So I'd say they'd be very happy at this result because they'd like to bring Russia into the conflict. They just want to see open war. They just want to see bombs falling on countries and people dying because that's what Israel loves the most. Israel's main export has always been war and terrorism, and that is very, very clearly seen in this conflict they've been waging against the nation of Syria with their fake terrorist force, ISIS, which is in fact a mercenary army being run by Israel and the West, and always has been, and is being supplied and funded and given logistic support in the Golan Heights, and supplied and funded with weapons smuggled in and children being smuggled out by the White Helmets. And Israel most definitely seeks to prolong this conflict. And quite honestly, folks, this recent bombing campaign they conducted over Syria was, as described by Patrick Henningsen of 21st Century Wire, nothing short of psychotic. That's really the only word you can use to describe Israeli foreign policy, and that is as a psychotic foreign policy. I mean, the timing of this bombing campaign, the timing of it clearly reveals that Benjamin Netanyahu is an absolute psychopath and he just wants the conflict to continue. Any other nation who had done anything like this, who had conducted a bombing campaign while efforts were being made to de-escalate the conflict, there would be sanctions slapped on this country straight away. But nothing like that ever happens to Israel. It simply does what it wants, and that is why these conflicts continue, why there's never any stop to them, because irrespective of what anyone else is doing, Israel simply does what it wants. And what it wants is war. What it wants is to continue the Greater Israel Project. Israel also very much wants to set up multicultural situations in all Western countries, and so it needs lots of refugees from the Middle East to do this. And you're not going to get refugees if you don't continue the wars, and so that's all part of the plan as well. The multicultural invasion, the migrant invasion into Europe, this is all part of the Jewish Kalugi plan. The multicultural situations that are being set up in all of our countries that they're doing here in Australia, this is all the same thing. It's all part of the Jewish Kalugi plan. And you need to have these conflicts in the Middle East, and you need to be creating refugees that have a chip on both their shoulders and kind of hate the West for what the West has done to their country. And these are the people you want to be sending into these Western countries so they can destabilize the countries from within. You send them into the countries, you compartmentalize them so they set up their Middle Eastern community so it's a closed area that Westerners don't want to go to. So it becomes kind of a cultural cell. And you'll do this with all different countries and all different nationalities and races and creeds and colours, and have all these little sectarian sections in cities all around the world, which will all sit there as a tinderbox waiting to explode with the right provocation. Once it all does turn into a bit of a mishmash and the rapes start happening, then people start interbreeding. Over a period of about 100 years, you end up with one big coffee-coloured race. All one people, all one goyim, with Israel sitting bright and shiny in the centre, just continuing to do what it wants to do. And that's the plan, and a lot of people just don't see it. A lot of people are caught up in squabbling. A lot of the truth movement is still caught up in squabbling, not really paying attention to their surroundings, but all this is rolling out in our communities all around us. You notice they're changing all of the airports all around the world and stuff now as well, folks. All the shopping centres, the banking, it's all going automatic, it's all going digital. At the local airports here, you don't have anyone signing you in anymore. You've got to check your own baggage in and get your own ticket out of the machine and all of this stuff. It's all becoming automated. Cash is being pushed further and further away. And this is all happening while all of these conflicts are going on, all this stuff's going on, while most of the independent media and so-called truth communities unfortunately continuing to argue and remain divided with each other rather than creating some sort of a groundswell, which is really what I think we need to be doing. But as I said, it can be very difficult because you get out in your community and it's quite difficult when you get out there in the real world and start talking to people, start trying to present ideas to people. Some people warm to the concept, but a lot of other people are quite literally violently opposed to the concepts as well. And I still suggest if we could find some way of creating some unity in the independent media and truth movement, then we would find it a lot easier to reach the sleeping masses. But at the moment, a lot of them, when they look towards the independent media for information, because a lot of them know they're not getting real information from the mainstream anymore, but the problem is when they look towards the independent media, they just see a whole bunch of infighting, and they don't know who's right, or who to believe, or which way to go, or who to trust. And you find that everybody is distrustful of everybody else because of this whole conspiracy culture, this conspiracy mindset that's been put into people. I mean, sure, there are conspiracies, absolutely. And there are people that have infiltrated the independent media, absolutely. But, you know, if we unite and we start to respect each other and push forward against the system in the right way, these people will soon reveal themselves, you know. People want to steer you away from what the real focus is, which is freedom. You know, people want to incorporate. People want to do fundraisers, do all these sorts of things that don't really lead to freedom. They all lead to division. They lead to managerial control and all sorts of this sort of stuff. You can see who these people are. You can see who the infiltrators are. Really what we need is a push for truth, a push for free speech, a push for open dialogue and respectful dialogue. And we all have the capability of doing this. We all have the capability of respecting each other. And if you go out in the real world, you'll find a lot of people that you argue with online. You wouldn't argue with them in the real world. You wouldn't say half the things you say to people to their face that you say online. So it's good to get out there and get amongst it, but it's good to have backup while you're doing it. Good to have people around you, which is why this independent media needs to find some form of mutual ground that we can all stand on and face the actual root core of the problem. Like I keep saying to people, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter which rabbit hole you're going down. Ultimately, all of the mysteries exist and all the problems exist because we're not free. So let's establish freedom, because if we can establish some unity with each other, then we will be able to establish some freedom. Now, this has been my message for the last 10 years, and it is actually 10 years now. Next week will be the anniversary of my very first radio interview. I think it'll be next week, maybe the week after, but very close to the anniversary of my very first radio interview back in 2008. So it's kind of an interesting milestone to arrive at. Very reflective time for me, actually. But anyway, that's another story, off topic. But yeah, as I keep saying, with what's coming, it's really important that people get some focus, because it's coming. I mean, it's rolling out. It's not being stopped. With all of the information we've shared, with all of the effort we've made to alert people to the dangers of 5G and to what the smart grid really is. And you can see this being taken to the extreme in China now, where they've got new scorecards for people, where you get rated based on your behavior. And it also applies to your family folks. So if your parents say something or your siblings say something that the government doesn't like, then you get judged by that as well. So I guess everybody policing each other. You can see where this is all going, but nothing's really being done to stop it is the point. You know, people are aware of it, but most of the people in society just accepting it as it gets rolled out. They're just using the tech and going along with it. So it is rolling out irrespective of the effort we're undertaking to try and prevent it. And again, it's because many people just aren't seeing what the New World Order is. It's the tech. It's the technology. You know, as I keep saying to people, if you're speaking out against the system but you're using a smartphone, well, you're not really getting it. And I can appreciate that a lot of people say, well, hang on, if I put down my smartphone, then how am I ever going to listen to your radio shows? Well, you do it on a computer, folks. You do it when you're at home on your laptop or whatever, or even when you're out on your laptop. And look, you could even continue to do it on your smartphone. The problem isn't listening to YouTube clips and surfing the internet with your phone. That isn't the problem. You know, you've just got to try to understand how this works and comprehend how all this whole smart grid is being laid out. You know, the thing is with a phone is that it tracks you everywhere. The phone is what's going to be used to access supermarkets and buy food at supermarkets. You'll need your phone soon to check in at airports. You'll need your phone to do the most everyday things. And when it becomes too inconvenient for the phone, then they'll start using microchips or even retinal scans or DNA. They don't really need microchips. But it's the fact that the phone is being used for not just phone calls. It's being used to track everything you do, and it's becoming integrated into your life to perform everyday activities, things like shopping at supermarkets or putting petrol in your car or going to your bank or paying for food, simply buying things. It's getting to the point where you won't be able to do these things unless you have a smartphone. And it's because people are continuing to use the smartphones for all these conveniences rather than just something that they surf the internet on and make phone calls with that the problem is occurring. That's how they're leading people into it. I mean, sure, you can still own a smartphone, but if you're using it to perform all these everyday activities and economic activities and to pay for food and to sign yourself into airports and things like this, then you are participating to the creation of the smart grid. And as long as people continue to use it, then that's the way we're going to be led. And there's not going to be anything anybody can do about it. It's just going to go that way, simply because nobody is doing anything about it because they're all using the tech. That's the thing. And when you look at the social crediting system based on the scorecards that are now being introduced into China, you can see how this is happening in our country as well with identity cards. That's all they have to do, folks, is attach all of this to your identity card. So even if you don't own a smartphone, if you don't use a smartphone, if you don't use a credit card, if you don't want to do any of that stuff, well, if you need an identity card in order to enter an airport, in order to buy a bus ticket or a train ticket, or in order to enter a supermarket and buy things, and if your entire social profile is attached to this identity card, and this identity card is also linked up to your digital bank account, then they've got you. They've got everybody, they've got everything everybody ever does, and that is the New World Order. That is the smart grid, and that will be the type of digital dystopia that we will find it very, very difficult to extricate ourselves from, because in that type of digital dystopia, there can be no free thinking, there can be no open thought, therefore there can be no creation of genius. No genius will be allowed, because without free thought, there can never be any genius. Without freedom of speech, there can never be any freedom. And it will also end any criticism of the actions of government, because if you or any member of your family or anybody you know speaks out against the system, then you will also be penalized for their actions. That's the way the system is being rolled out in China. And if you think it isn't coming to this country as well, into your country, whichever country you're in, then I would suggest you are very much mistaken. Because this is a system that is the banking cartel's wet dream. This is a system that will enslave the entire human race in every aspect of their lives. And it's a system that is being rolled out simply because we are allowing it to be rolled out because people, again, are not paying attention. You know, and the independent media, you know, if you're out there and you're presenting the truth to people and you're attempting to wake the world up, you really do have a responsibility to get some focus and pay attention and deal with what is coming. Because any attempts at creating division are simply working towards the favor of government at the moment. And any attempts to undermine anybody else is simply working in favor of government. Any attempts to lead people down rabbit holes, and sure, there's a lot of really interesting stuff that we need to look at, and I'm not saying don't research. Sure, it's great to have your head down rabbit holes and look at things, but while you're doing that, be sure to pay attention to what is happening around you, and be sure to do what you can to rally the people around you and to unite the people around you, and to get some focus on what is coming and what the problems that we face really are and how to extricate ourselves from this system, because really the only way is through non-compliance, folks. You've got to stop using the tech. You've got to stop using these conveniences. You've got to stop participating in this smart grid. It is so important. And start participating in your children's education if you have children. So that's very important too. Now, what's being done to the next generation is quite scary, folks. It really is. The way these children are being programmed into transgenderism so early at school, the way the entire human race is being kind of wimpified and put into a position where they simply won't fight back. They'll all be politically correct. They'll all be narcissistic. They'll all be worried about their own particular outlook and how they should be honored and all of this stuff that is being presented with this equality and everything that is presented, which is so backwards to what it really is. Everything that they label as equality is really all about division. Everything they label as freedom of expression is all about political correctness. Everything they label about freedom is about slavery. Everything this system does is backwards, and it's really important that people start paying attention and removing their support from this system. Stop buying into all the theatre, folks. That's why they're escalating all the conflicts. That's why all this stuff's going on in Syria, why they're keeping our focus on all the bad stuff Israel's doing. It knows it's untouchable. That's why it does all this stuff, just to keep us screaming out about it and pointing the finger at them rather than looking at our surroundings and focusing on our surroundings. I mean, sure, I'll touch on what Israel's doing because it's important. It's important that we pull funding from this state and stop this happening. But I'll tell you right now, that's not going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen because they need Israel to be doing what it's doing because of the distraction it's creating and its need to go and build this big control grid that it wants to build because that's who's behind a lot of it. But what we've got to concentrate on is how it's being rolled out in our communities and what we can do to stop it. You know, and spreading information is the best thing you can do, spreading information and refusing to comply with the system yourself. You know, don't shop without cash, folks. Use cash everywhere you shop. Or if you're going to use a card to shop, then use cryptocurrency to shop. Get out of the fiat system. Because as I said, if it's going to go that way anyway, which it is because people are simply not stopping it, and if you're going to be using cards and you're going to be using this smart grid, then you should be using private cryptocurrencies to do your shopping. Because at least by doing that, you're not supporting the banking cartels, you're not supporting the Federal Reserve System, and that's at least one thing you can do. And people may say, oh, you can't use cryptos, that's leading you into the system, that's leading you into the smart grid. Well, you're doing it anyway by using the tech, by shopping without cash. Now you are leading yourself into the system. Everybody is. Like I said, that's the way it's going. Nothing is being done to slow it down. I'm not seeing it slow down anyway. Not for all the work that I've been doing, not for all the work everybody's been doing. We've been speaking out about it for a good many years now. But by the same token, I'm not seeing it slow down. Like I said, all the airports in Australia now have all gone digital. All the shopping centres, there's a new digital shopping centre that's happened in Sydney. They're starting one, trialling one on the Gold Coast as well, I think. This is all stuff that you can go in and scan the food with your smartphone and you can just put it in your trolley and walk out. So all of this is being rolled out irrespective of what we're doing about it. So this is what I'm saying. If they are going to do that, if you're going to go and shop at one of those supermarkets, if you're going to do that, if they make it go that way and you just simply don't have a choice, but you have to go and shop that way, then you can hook it up to a cryptocurrency account and you can shop with cryptocurrency. So you're not supporting that fiat system. That's at least one thing you can do. And like I said, that I know a lot of people will probably object to that concept because they're in fear of cryptocurrencies. But like I said, folks, if it's going to go that way anyway, which it is, then what option do you have? You can either go that way and allow yourself to be completely controlled in every aspect of your life via these identity cards and via this smart grid, or you can at least maintain financial control over your life, even if you can't maintain control over the other aspects of your life. But again, in that respect, it won't matter a great deal anyway, because if your purchasing power is limited by your social profile and your social crediting, and you need this identity card to purchase airline tickets with your cryptocurrency, then it's not going to matter how much cryptocurrency you have, because it's going to all come down to your social profile in the end. That's the thing, whether you're considered trustworthy or whether you're considered not trustworthy. And if you're someone who's been speaking out against the system, then you're not going to be someone who's considered trustworthy, and so you're simply not going to have that type of purchasing power. And the scary part about it is that in that situation, your brothers and sisters and your parents and your immediate family will also find themselves limited in their purchasing power due to your actions. So you're going to find that you fall out with your family and friends as well. Because if they're not awake and they perceive you to be the cause of their limited social profile, then they're going to start performing some type of intervention in your family to get you back on track. So it's a very clever way of getting families to police each other and police themselves and getting people to slap their siblings into the line the government wants them to think according to, because otherwise they're going to get limited in their purchasing power. And it'll get to the point that it doesn't even matter whether you're posting stuff on social media, and that won't be what's being used to limit your purchasing power, because they can listen to your conversations over your smartphone at any time of the day anyway, and listen to all your family's conversations, and all they have to do is do so with algorithms and have the algorithms keyed to listen for keywords. So if you use particular words which are related to dissent or disagreement against the government, certain politicians' names, certain things, then the algorithm will pick it up. The conversation will be recorded for later analysis. And if it's found that you have breached some sort of government guidelines by thinking the way they don't want you to, then your entire family will be deducted in social crediting points. This is the way it's going, folks. You know, soon everybody who wants to have any type of free conversation will have to do so in an area that is without surveillance, and you'll find that there aren't any areas without surveillance, And you'll find that if you even leave your mobile phone and go somewhere without it, then you'll be under suspicion for even doing so. And everyone will just have to start speaking in code. And that will be an interesting sort of environment to live in. If you want to say anything free, you have to use code words. But of course, the code words will soon be picked up and known about anyway. So it's a very, very dysfunctional, dystopian, super control grid future that we're heading into, ladies and gentlemen. And all this is being rolled out under, of course, the fear of terrorism. So you can see this, and anybody who can't see it, I mean, I don't know how people are not seeing it. I don't know how people aren't paying attention to this. Again, much of it is due to the many distractions that they're given, but when you really step back and look at it, this is an incredibly dystopian future that is being allowed to be rolled out, folks. And this is why so much of the independent media is allowed to flourish the way it is, because it's such a divisive movement. It's just so much infighting. There's no unity. No one can get any focus. Everybody's against everybody else. The people that are putting out the good information, their information isn't being shared. 21st Century Y, for example, the article that I mentioned earlier, this is a great article. Patrick Henningsen and 21st Century Y put out some very, very good news reports. Yet I don't see their stuff being shared nearly enough. People are more into conspiratorial ideas. People are more into grandiose conspiracy theories and things that spark their romantic imagination rather than the hard, cold facts of what is happening in the world around them. And it is very, very important that people start paying attention to this. It really is. If you find good information and it resonates with you, rather than trying to share the information yourself, simply share that information with other people. Play these radio shows to your friends. Share 21st Century Wise information with people. When you find good articles that tell the story properly, share these articles with people. Don't try to tell the story yourself. Don't add another voice to the choir. Just share the real information and get it out there to people, to as many people as you can, and pull your support from the system as much as you can. Question authority anytime anybody asks you to do anything, ask them why, and pay attention to the smart grid that's being rolled out around you and alert your friends to what this smart grid really is. Do that and you'll start to make a difference in your own community. And every little bit that everybody does all makes a difference. Every single action helps. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So in understanding how to extricate ourselves from this control grid, it's very important to understand what the control grid is. You know, I get a lot of messages from people, a lot of questions from people. How do we not comply with the system? And it's seeing what the system is and seeing what the new world order is. And really, when you look at it, folks, it all comes down to the internet. I mean, the internet has been a wolf in sheep's clothing right from the beginning. If you look at the internet, it was developed by CERN and DARPA. It was first originally created by CERN so scientists could talk to each other, then was developed further by DARPA. But what the internet has really been about has been a phishing operation more than anything else. I outlined this actually in a show, I think around about September last year, called The International Net. And I went through the process of how the internet started. It was a very, very free, open place when it first started. Everyone was amazed. We can finally share information. Everyone can put their ideas out there. It was like this huge open slather of ideas and information, and everything was available. And then over the time since it's been created, it's become more and more controlled. And while this has happened, it's sort of infiltrated itself into our lives and insinuated itself over our reality, where now it's become an essential part of our reality. And now it's been personalized so that people are carrying it with them everywhere on their smartphones, and it's how they deal with the world around them. They do it through the virtual world rather than by using the real world. And when you are locked into the virtual world for all of your transactions and everything you're doing and all your financial and economic situations and all these transactions are all happening through the internet, then it becomes very, very easy to lock you out and to control what you're doing. You know, and when you look at social media and how this has all come about, what Facebook has really been all about, how it's all about tracking people's social profiles and getting tabs on the finest detail of everybody's life. That's what it's really all about, folks. When you look at all these algorithms that Facebook runs, all these advertising programs, it's not about advertising. All these little bots and programs that they have on the side of these pages that are sending these ads to you all the time. I've explained all this before. Now, these are ads that nobody clicks on. So why are they there? They're there to monitor your activity. and to let people know what you're doing. So everything you're doing can be tracked. And it would seem that the wildlife agrees with that one, folks. But essentially what all of this is about is surveillance. You know, once they know everything you're spending, every cent that you spend on, once they're able to track all of your conversations by all the smart devices you have in your home, and once they're able to limit your purchasing power due to your social outlook, then they've got total control over everybody. And they essentially censor all forms of free thought, any forms of free expression. Like I said, you can never create a genius in this type of society. You won't have any genius because you won't have any type of free thought, because people will only be able to think in a certain way. And not only think in a certain way, because they'll only have access to certain information. There's certain forms of thought which simply will be outlawed. And if you choose to think that way, you'll lose social credits and you'll be outlawed. And if you want the information anyway to confirm what you may be thinking, then you simply won't have access to the information. You won't have access to any of the books. All the books will be changed. And all the information that you've got will be online and digital. And the stuff that you may want to see that may inform you or lead you in the direction that they don't want you to go simply won't be there. It just won't be available to you to begin with. You can see this through the algorithms and censorship that we're seeing on social media platforms now, all disguised as community guidelines, of course. They always do it through community guidelines. You know, if someone's posting something that the proprietors of the site don't like, then they will simply not allow other people to see it. And this will come down to publishing. Amazon's doing this as well. They're not allowing people to publish books that Amazon doesn't agree with. We don't want hate speech, is what they're saying. And essentially, hate speech is anything that disagrees with the government guidelines. They just recategorize everything, folks, so that if you don't agree with what the government says, then you're doing something wrong. I mean, this is the way they always do it, folks. I mean, if they can recategorize Al-Qaeda, then certainly they can recategorize anything. And of course, that was 17 years ago now. So for any young listeners out there, Al-Qaeda is, of course, the group that was given responsibility for the 9/11 attacks. Now this group has suddenly been classified as moderate rebels assisting the United States in Syria and are suddenly allies of the United States. So those soldiers who've been going out bombing people in the name of protecting people against Al-Qaeda to support the war on terror are now bombing for Al-Qaeda in Syria. Interesting how that works. And this is just typical American foreign policy. And as I said, folks, they simply recategorize everything to what flavor of the month suits them. Soon you'll probably find that anybody posting anti-Al-Qaeda information on Facebook is banned for inciting hate speech. They've done this with vaccines. We've seen on Facebook and on Pinterest, I believe, and a couple of other platforms, they're suggesting that anybody who speaks out against vaccination or presents any anti-vaccine information is promoting self-harm. So therefore, they are carrying out what is classed as hate speech and essentially promoting suicide and self-harm, and so their information is banned, and so people don't get access to the information. People only ever hear one side of the debate. Indeed, that's all they can ever hear, because there can be no other side of the debate, because all criticism is outlawed. And when you outlaw any criticism, of course, you outlaw free thought, you outlaw open debate, and you are, from that point on, subject to anything the government wants to say or do, and there can be no criticism of it, because any criticism of government actions, no matter how hateful they are, is considered to be hate speech. I mean, how can you ever have any new ideas and present them to the world? How can you invent anything new? How could you create some fantastic new thing that was going to change the direction of mankind and present it to the world if you're simply not allowed to think that way? And if you do think that way, if what you're inventing happens to disagree with what the government is doing, then the concept will be banned and you'll be arrested for even having the idea. And this is exactly what we are seeing with the censorship that's being rolled out across Facebook and Pinterest and all of these platforms right now. It's the same if you publish a book that disagrees with the government or questions government actions. This will be seen as interfering with the government. It will be seen as propaganda, simply because you're posting an opinion and the book will never be published. This is what happens when it all becomes digital and it all gets controlled by major corporations such as Amazon. And Amazon is also moving into supermarket chains and department stores and all sorts of stuff now, folks. So it's really taking over everything. So this is how you not comply, folks, is by not participating in these type of organizations. Don't shop at Amazon. Don't support the platforms that are supporting this type of censorship. I mean, even with Facebook, I just don't use Facebook hardly at all anymore. I only go there to post news articles and to post my show once a week. I don't post my breakfast on there. I don't post all my personal information on there. And this is the sort of things people are doing. And this is what you shouldn't be doing, folks. All of these things that we do, which give all of our personal details away to everybody, this is what is being used against us, and this is what the internet has been designed to do. And it, as I said, it started off as something quite benevolent, something that was good for us, something that was able to connect us all and link us all together and something really beneficial. But then it slowly moved into what it is becoming, which is a very, very tightly controlled surveillance system. And it is, of course, also leading into a condition where we're all going to be controlled by a fully autonomic internet, which will then see the real birth of what people are calling artificial intelligence, which is, again, something that I believe should be called more like virtual life, fully autonomic virtual life. And again, this is something that I outlined in another show, I think around about mid-2007, maybe around about June and July, called Giving Life to Lucifer, when I explained how the Lucifer system, the bearer of light, the internet, what it is really all leading to. With the New World Order that's been created, the smart grid, the Internet of Things, and of course what goes along with it, which is the tightly controlled, heavily surveilled, AI-governed system that is being put into place, where all crimes will be determined via social crediting, and when all penalties for these crimes will also be predetermined by the algorithms, and the perpetrators of these crimes will simply be locked into smart prisons, and this is how they are going to deal with dissent. And we're seeing it already in China, and it's soon going to be rolled out to the rest of the world. You can bet your bottom dollar on that one. You know, and when you really consider the implications of this level of control being put over the human experience and put over the human mind, it's really next level stuff, folks. It really is. I mean, this system, with the system they're putting in place, this will give them the ability to be able to control every single aspect of the human mind, every single aspect of human perception, every single piece of information people get. It will give the government, the controlling hand, the ability to lead people in whatever direction they want to lead them, to justify any war, any extermination of any population, any shifting of any borders, any rules or laws they want to put in place, the arrest of anybody they want. It will completely remove the controlling hand of any responsibility for their actions, any liability for their actions. It will remove the people of any recourse at all for the crimes or transgressions of government. It will no longer even allow people the ability to question the actions of government on any level whatsoever. And it will eliminate all forms of free thought, any thinking outside of the box, any invention of new devices, any ideas that anybody has for things that may offer benefit for the future. It will turn everybody into a drone, everybody into a perfectly controlled automaton. That is what this system is leading towards. And if people can't see this, well, I really don't know what they're thinking, because it's so obvious. It's right there in everybody's face. The level of control they'll be able to exercise through controlling people through social crediting and giving people scorecards and penalizing their family depending on what they think as well. This level of control is the type of level of control that should not ever be put into anybody's hands at all. In fact, should this system continue and should this system be allowed to roll out to completion, this system will very likely see the extermination of a great deal of humanity, and it will happen in such a manner that most of the rest of humanity won't even know that it happened. This is a very, very dangerous situation that we're facing, folks, and anybody who is a responsible human being, anybody who even thinks inside the box and wants to be a responsible citizen of their nation should not be allowing this system to be put in place, because this system is the ultimate form of fascist socialism. It is the ultimate form of control, and it is the ultimate form of corruption and of human slavery. And as I said, folks, there is no one person or no one system, no AI, nothing that should ever be allowed to have this level of control over the human experience, because this level of control will essentially end the human experience and turn what is left of the human experience into a tightly controlled digital people farm. I mean, you think about it, folks, if nobody's allowed to ask questions and nobody's allowed to criticize and nobody's able to present any information that isn't government approved, then what's to stop the government just doing whatever it wants? If the government decided to lock down a suburb or a town or an area in any country and decided to exterminate the people in that area and simply say, oh, there was a disease outbreak and they all died from a disease, how would you know? How would you ever know anything different? And if there was someone in the area that tried to bring the real information to the people, if the internet is censored to the point that they can't get that information out, then how would you know? You know, the type of system that's been put in place, the type of social crediting system that's been put in place in China, it grants the government the ability to do absolutely anything it wants to do in regard to any situation with absolutely no accountability for their actions whatsoever. And you got to remember that what this really is a case of a very, very small group of human beings completely controlling every aspect of the rest of the world. And this is simply not acceptable. Not in any sane mind can a situation like this be seen as acceptable. Under the threat of terrorism, under the threat of whatever it is the government is presenting to justify its actions, there is no way that anybody who thinks clearly could see this as something that is acceptable. So when you see this, and when you see this system and this level of control being rolled out, and you're a part of the independent media, you're doing all this research, and you're looking down all these rabbit holes and doing all these things, when you can see this system for what it really is, does there come a point in your life where you ask yourself where your focus should be? Because there should be. Because, as I've said so many times, it doesn't matter what rabbit hole you're going down. Soon you're not going to be able to go down that rabbit hole because that information that you're looking at is going to be expunged from the internet. And with social crediting and all the stuff that they're rolling out, if you even begin looking for that information, then you will be expunged from society. And this is happening because the people out there in the independent media don't have any focus. They're so intent on hacking each other down because everybody's going down a different rabbit hole and everybody wants to be right and everybody believes anybody who doesn't think the way they do must be the enemy. And I've tried to stop this for so long. I've tried to present this information to people in a way that they will see how they're being played for so long now. But the last 3 years, it has literally turned into this divisive nightmare of infighting, and it is just shocking to see. And when you can see the control grid for what it is, folks, it's really time for people to put all this stuff down and stop hacking each other down and get some focus, because we have a very short window. And the problem is that when you even attempt to present this information to people, you just get accused of being a fearmonger, because everyone wants to have this romantic, adventurous rabbit hole to go down rather than paying attention to what is going on. And most especially rather than having to deal with it themselves. You know, people don't want the smart grid, but they continue to use the tech, and that's the problem. And again, folks, I don't like to be coming onto these shows and just bringing you all this negative information, but it's important that people pay attention to all this, it really is. Because this is the type of dystopian future that we're being led into. And as I've said so many times, we have a real strength of numbers in the independent media. We do. We have a lot of people who are awake. There are a lot of people posting YouTube videos and posting alternate information to people, but so many of them have their heads focused on their own rabbit hole to the extent that they simply cannot see how the control grid is closing in around us all and how much it is necessary for us to deal with this control grid. And you'll ask, well, how can we deal with it? What can we do? Well, being aware of it is half of the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Being aware of it and helping other people become aware of it is half of the problem. Yeah, because once people become aware of it, you simply stop complying with it by default. I mean, and I don't comply with it at all, and it doesn't affect my life adversely in any way. I don't use a smartphone. I don't use a credit card. I don't even own a credit card. I've never owned a credit card. I always shop with cash, I always question authority, I don't support the mainstream media, I don't support platforms that support censorship. And if people pulled their attention away from these things and started supporting the people around them, then we'd really make a difference. And I know it's hard. I know it can be very, very difficult to get along with your neighbours. We have that problem here, and I've tried to connect with the neighbours around me, and so I truly know how difficult it can be. I've connected far more with people who don't live next door to me than I have with people who live in the immediate area. A lot of them are very unnerved and offended by the fact that someone in their area is thinking outside of the box. A lot of them find it quite scary, in fact. So I know what it's like to deal with these sort of people, but that doesn't deter me at all. I still try to operate on that higher level and do what I can for these people anyway. You know, eventually there'll be a time when something will happen and they'll need me for something and I'll be there and they'll go, oh, wow, he's not such a bad guy after all. I mean, these sorts of situations arise, but in the meantime, there's other people in the greater community that I can connect with, and I do. You know, but being aware of the information is half of the problem. Being aware of what the control grid is. And if you're someone out there who has a YouTube channel or who has a radio show or has some form of a platform that you're actually getting attention from people, then you have an opportunity to be able to share this information with them. Do it in a responsible way where they can see it, and you'll make a difference as well. But don't be so focused on your rabbit hole that you're going to hack everybody down who doesn't look at your rabbit hole or has a different opinion on your rabbit hole or has their head down a different rabbit hole, because it doesn't matter. It's all irrelevant. All these rabbit holes exist because we're not free anyway. That's the reason all these mysteries are there. And the fact that we're becoming less and less free as the days go on, and pretty soon we're not even going to be able to investigate these rabbit holes, should be a cause for most people to pay attention. It really should. I mean, if you enjoy your research, that's the thing, folks. You're not going to be able to do it soon because you didn't pay attention to what was happening with the medium that is holding that research, i.e. the internet. You know, we've got to pay attention to where we're being led with all this. We've got to pay attention to what this social crediting thing is doing. If you're going to be penalized for even searching for a certain article because that article you're searching for is thinking outside of the box, and you're going to find that you lose social credit scores for something that you searched for on Google, then where's this all going to lead? How are you going to be able to research whatever it is you're researching? How are you going to be able to research the mud flood? How are you going to be researching flat earth if you believe the earth is flat? If the authorities don't believe in that research, then that information won't be there. And not only that, but you will be penalized for even conducting such a search on Google. That's the way it's going. So it doesn't really matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what rabbit hole you've got your head down. This blanket censorship is going to apply to anyone. And when it's attached to an identity card with your social credit points attached to your Google search results and all of this sort of stuff, you can see where it's going, ladies and gentlemen. So there's a lot of people out there in the independent media. We do have a lot of voices. And if we can get a little bit of focus on this, we can make a difference. We can bring this information to the mainstream in a way that they can actually understand it. But while they look at the independent media and all they see is infighting and people with their head down the most extraordinary of rabbit holes with no focus on anything else, then we're not going to get anywhere. We're just allowing ourselves to be led into this smart prison, and we're not really doing anything about it at all. And again, people will say, what can I do about it? Well, as I said, folks, spread information, share the good articles that you can find with people, write to your politicians and go to local council meetings. I went to a council meeting a couple of weeks ago, absolutely tore strips off the local council for a development that they've conducted in my local area, which they've done in a very, very underhanded way. And I put it to them that they've done it in a very, very underhanded way. And I asked them to please show cause why we should not rally the people of the area to express a loss of confidence in this council. And it really stirred the people up. I mean, you can do this sort of stuff yourself, folks. You've got to go and get involved, though. That's the point. You know, and what I said was very confrontational for these council members. I had half the place cheering and the other half, of course, looking daggers at me for daring to think outside the box to the level that I was and for daring to confront the council the way I was. But that doesn't matter, folks. At least it got done. At least I planted that seed in a lot of people's minds who were there. And a lot of people were very, very comforted to see someone with a backbone actually standing up for their rights and standing up and calling things for what they are and not being politically correct about it. You know, and we all have the ability to do this. Sure, you might get a little bit of flack from some people for doing it, but I'll tell you, you'll feel a lot better for having done it. And you'll certainly put the wind up the council members, and at least you'll slow the system down because they will see that people are thinking. And that's what they don't want. They don't want people to think. Yeah, and all of this hate speech and all this political correctness and all of the stuff that they're imposing upon us and saying, oh, this is outside of our community guidelines. Well, what about our personal community guidelines? What about our social guidelines? What about us turning this around towards them? You know, how can you condemn someone for thinking outside of the box? This is hate speech against intelligence is what you're doing. You know, all of this stuff that they're doing that they're claiming is to defend society against hate speech is hate speech in itself. All this stuff that they're imposing upon people to curtail the human experience in every way that they can, all of this is causing harm. All of this is hate speech and hate activity, which is being carried out by politicians under the guise of doing exactly the opposite of what they're doing. You know, everything is backwards, ladies and gentlemen. Everything they do is backwards. Everything they teach us is backwards. Everything the media tells us is backwards. And it's never been more obvious than our societies in the world today. I mean, pretty well everybody can see this. The problem is that not enough people are speaking out about it. But if you do things like I did, go to a local council meeting, get up and have your say, you'll find that you will inspire a lot of people. Even if half of the room looks daggers at you, even if the council members have you thrown out, even if whatever happens, you'll still find that you will inspire a lot of people by simply demonstrating that you have a backbone and you're prepared to call things for what they are. Because we just don't do that anymore. And that's really the cause of the whole problem. That's what all this political correctness and social control and community guidelines is all about. It's about controlling the way you think and making you too scared to ever say what you really want to say for fear of being penalized for thinking outside of the box. Succumbing to peer group pressure. Hordes of people tweeting that you said the wrong thing and that you must do this or you will be classed as whatever. The way they do, the way they affect everybody with their Twitter barrages that they're doing against people these days. I don't even look at Twitter. I don't care what they post on Twitter about me. I could not give a rodent's fart what they say. I just don't do fear. I don't do coercion. And I don't think it's good for anybody to do fear or coercion. You must always think what you want to think and say what you want to say. Mean what you say and say what you think. It really does make a difference if people do this. Don't succumb to the pressure, ladies and gentlemen. Political correctness is just another form of tyranny, and that, again, is another thing which is leading us directly into this smart grid and into this social crediting system. And it's now that time again, folks, where we have reached the end of the show. I know I've probably been a little bit scattered on topics today, folks, but that's just where my mind is. There's a lot of stuff rattling around in there, so the shows just go where they go. And again, my apologies for not bringing you one last week, but I will definitely attempt to bring you another one next week. Again, I am speaking at Acapulco in February at Acapulco. This is going to be the only public appearance, the only public speaking event that I'll be doing for 2019, so do attempt to come along to that. I will also be doing some hape ceremonies at Acapulco, and there's a possibility I may even be doing some Cambo workshops there, so I'll keep you posted as that as well. And apart from my talk there, I will also be doing a workshop on the side as well. So that way you'll get the talk and you'll get a workshop and you'll possibly get Cambo workshops and you'll get a hape ceremony as well. So that's definitely something to look forward to in Acapulco in February. Folks, I figure if I'm going to do one gig, I might as well go to town and do everything I can while I'm there. And I'll be in the area for a week. So that's something to look forward to. Do come along to that. And I'll look forward to seeing you there if you are able to come along to that gig. But thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you again to all of my Patreon supporters. You are the ones who keep this show on the air. You are the ones who keep this research going, ladies and gentlemen. And my most sincere thanks goes out to my Patreon supporters. I couldn't do any of this were it not for the kind contributions of you most wonderful people. But that is it for me, folks. I'm now completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then, my friends. In La Cache.